Hello and welcome. I'm Angela Saeva, founder of Equine Elevation and host of Sovereign Horse. Horses have been the greatest catalyst for growth in my life, and this podcast is no exception. Sovereign Horse was inspired by my herd as a space to explore what it means to support sovereignty in our horses and in ourselves. It is my absolute honor to hold space for the horses and humans who are driving the beautiful revolution and paradigm shift I'm seeing within the equine industry right now. My intention with this podcast is to share the voices and wisdom of the horses, as well as the humans who journey alongside them and whose work is honoring horses as sentient and sovereign beings. I am so grateful that you are here, and I hope you find value and resonance in this episode. Let's begin. Okay. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of Sovereign Horse. I'm here with Kate Nelligan. She is an equine partnered life and business coach, animal communicator, and healer. And we were just having a cool chat before we started. Welcome to the podcast, Kate.
Thanks so much for having me.
I was like, I'm still just like buzzing my whole body. Like Kate and I both just like full disclosure, we were both in sweaters and like had to go change because two of our mares came through hot, yes. Literally made us both so hot. We had to go change.
So true.
But Kate brought it to my attention that today is International Women's Day, which I did not know. And then having these two prominent mares come forward, I think is just so fascinating. So Kate, can we start by just talking a little bit about your mare and tell us who she is? This mare that I was like, I saw her on your Instagram this morning. I was just like, who is this horse?
I love it. Yeah. So the one that you're like, who's the paint pinto? So Phoenix is my mare. I got her in 2020, a couple months after everything had changed in the world. And my best friends were supposed to come visit and they didn't. And so then I was like, okay, well, then I'm getting a best friend horse. And so I was given her from Los Angeles. I brought her out to Colorado and it was a whole wild synchronicity story about how she came into my life too. Like I knew she was coming. I had a friend help me manifest her. It's a really cool story, but I am super curious to hear what you were drawn to when you saw her, you know, what popped for you when you tuned into her, because she does have a really big personality, so, or horsenality.
Yeah. You know, what came through was just this, like, I want to say like a self-assured energy, like a real, like, I know who I am energy. And like that kind of energy is very like magnetic to me. And I always feel drawn to that kind of energy because I feel like that's that, you know, we see in others what we see in ourselves. And so she came, I think what it was is like, maybe she was coming through a window to get a treat or something.
Oh yeah, that video.
Yes. And she was just like, here I am. And she had this moment of like, whoa, what's going on? But she wasn't like scared. She was just like, hold on, what? And then she just waited to receive the thing she was there for. I don't know. She was just so had this like really clear strength about her energy. Like it was like kind of a piercing energy that drew, like, caught me and drew me right in.
I love it. Yeah, she does have a lot of that. And it's funny because at times I think of her as an immature leader. She is the lead mare. She earned it. She wanted it in the herd. But she has such an interesting backstory because she lived by herself for most of her life. She was always in stalls. She was never turned out with other horses.
Oh, wow.
And she was a barrel racer. And because that's who had her, a team was training her. And I think that when I got her, they knew they wanted something else for her, not that work. And I don't think she really wanted to do that work. And they believed that she wanted to do equine coaching or therapy type work. Mm. And I was in the process of getting equine assisted therapy at the time from someone and their horse. And I kept finding horses that people were going to give to me and they kept falling through. And I'm like, what is going on? And then finally, I just felt like this horse said to me, a big paint horse is coming. And so when I asked a friend one day, I said, can you help me find a horse like yours? Because she has this incredible gelding that I've worked with. And she said, yeah, but I feel like it's going to be a mare. I said, I think so too. And I said, I feel like it's a paint mare. And then lo and behold, 48 hours later, she was in line at a feed store. And this lady behind her was like, oh my God, I just have too many animals. And my friend, she's like, started talking to her. My friend was there. And then she goes, well, you don't happen to have a paint mare, do you? And the lady just looked at her and she goes, how do you know that? And that was Phoenix. And she was looking for a home for her. And I was like, I just was like praying to have a horse for Christmas. And then they sent me a photo of her and she was born on Christmas. And she had like a Santa hat on. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is my horse.
Oh my God.
And the whole rise from the ashes is what I really needed because I lost my heart horse in 2017, and then I lost my first like real teacher horse and like love of my life in 2014, and so I had like I had to come up from those ashes and rise like a phoenix above all that grief and all of that pain. And yeah, she's really been the hardest horse I've ever had. Not she, because she is can be piercing, and she really is all about, you know, get into the right energy to be with her, know who you are, know your worth, approach from that point. She will not kind of nurture a pity party if you're having one. Like she's just not that horse, you know. Whereas my other mare is very angelic and very soft and sweet and will stand there like a mom and like hold space for you. But Phoenix is like, come on, let's go. We got other things to do here in the world besides feel bad. So
Wow.
it's cool. Yeah.
This is incredible. Like, okay, that story was incredible, but like what's really standing out to me is that she spent most of her life alone and yet had such a strong knowing that she is a lead mare.
Yeah, I know, right? That's wild. Yeah, and she came and she wanted it right off the bat. And the lead gelding was like, no, that's not how we do things here. We don't take it, you earn it. And he was, I didn't even know he was the leader. He was so gentle and so quiet about it, but he was this older Arabian and he charged the fence at her, like, back down and like, know your place. And so him and the lead mare had it until one day the lead mare said, okay, Phoenix, it's your turn. But it was interesting to watch them because every single day the lead mare and Phoenix were standing right next to each other every time they were grazing and eating in the field. And it felt like Rain, this lead mare, was passing on her teachings to Phoenix and that she was taking them in and being like, okay, what do I do in a herd? And how do, you know? So it was really fun to watch because I felt like she was in training before she got to take lead.
That's so cool. Honestly, like I have now seen that mentorship happen so many times in multiple herds. Like it's so fascinating because I didn't realize that that was such a thing for horses. Like, and it's so obvious when you see it now. Like when I see it now, I'm like, wow, that's so obvious that this horse is in mentorship and that this horse is the mentor. And it's just so fascinating to me. That's such a cool story. Oh my God, I love this mare.
Yeah, she's so neat. It's so funny too because you're either her person or you're not. Like there's no black, like there are a lot of people, they come, they're either intimidated by her, they don't feel super safe around her. It happened the other day with a client. They were like, I feel much safer with Salida, my other horse, and her name means slice of heaven, and that's who she is. So I'm like, great, but you know, trust your instinct, go trust your body, go be with Salida. Like, and then there are people, they just beeline it to Phoenix because they're ready to have an experience of leadership. They're ready for the bluntness and the directness because she's so blunt and direct. And in the beginning, like she kept saying to me, like, you have to tell people what you're thinking. You have to tell people like it is and how, and she's like, you're sugarcoating it and you're trying to be too nice. And she was really trying to break the nice girl out of me. And I loved it. I needed it. I really needed it.
Yeah.
So.
That's so interesting because like sugarcoating is a word that I always say with kisses is like she won't sugarcoat it for you. And same kind of energy where people come in and either be like super intimidated by her or like very called to her, but more often than not intimidated. And especially when we were teaching body work, she was only ever an advanced teacher. Like you could not just come in brand new and learn. She's like, no, I wait till they have the basics of like understanding how this works and creating consent. And you know, like you weren't just gonna do body work on her. You were going to ask and you were going to get guided. And until people were ready for that, she was like
Yeah, I mean, she definitely bit a few people when they weren't catching the cues and I wasn't fast enough. But like, I think that's why those two mares came in so hot. They literally made us so hot because they were just like this. Sometimes that's what's needed, is that very clear fierceness. And I think it's so interesting that she took you through your own journey kind of alongside the work that she was doing with clients. Do you want to share a little bit about that? Like, does that feel
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm happy to share about my own story, but the one that came in, well, we had to change into t-shirts because of the heated energy of these mares. What came in is the story, and the first time it happened, it was actually with a corporate group there, and everyone wanted to touch her. And so everyone
Oh.
went up to her and wanted to touch her face or her neck. And she pinned her ears and turned and was like, back off. And I was like, oh my God, Phoenix, what are you doing? Everyone's here to snuggle a horse and Salida's allowing it and the goats are allowing it. And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay. And I went up to her and she even did it to me and she had never done that before. And I'm like, okay, there's a message in this. And my first thing is like, oh God, is she not feeling well? Right. And I go to this worry place of like, oh, she must not be feeling well. She's asking for space and whatnot. And nope, she immediately was like, just tell them to be quiet with me. I'm like, okay. So I said to everyone, I said, you know, why don't you guys come across the fence from her for a second? And why don't you just breathe and receive instead of needing to touch her for a moment? See if you can see her power by just being with her and then feel your own. And then I kind of watched them and I saw how deep it was going. And then we had to circle up, but they didn't want to circle up. They wanted to just stay there with her in that connection. And then they came back and there were
Wow.
tears, you know, and this was a group of, you know, salespeople and there were tears and they were like, I was like, what was that like for you? And they were all like, well, we really thought that the only way we could have that majesty or energy or connection was through taking it, through touching her and taking it. And she put
Ooh.
them all in their place. This is in you. Stop trying to take it or get it from me. It's in you.
My whole body is lit up right now. That is wow. I can only imagine how profound that was for them.
It was a lot. And there was I could just tell this one woman in particular, it really got it. She got it in her body. She just is really emotional. I think she had been either playing small or she had been being nice, you know, and or not even just fully conscious of what she was doing and what her choices were. And so when I said, you guys, let's not touch Phoenix for a minute, let's just be with her. Everything changed. And then, as soon as they allowed that, then she stuck her nose over the fence and gave them all nose bumps with her nose. Like, I'm here, I'll
Aww.
touch you. But she did it the other day to someone. And it is that whole message of this, your word sovereign, which is how do you have your own energy and not need to grab or borrow or take anyone else's? And what we're seeking isn't outside of ourselves, it's inside of ourselves. So she's always there to remind me. The first words I heard her say to me was, Kate, remember you're a badass. And I'm like, oh. And that's what I think she wants for women is to know that, hey, you're a badass. That's her word, you know? So it was really cool for those women. They really got it, you know? And so my worry about her or whether they were going to like the experience because they didn't get to touch her immediately dissolved into something much more potent when I just let her be her. You know, it wasn't about human agenda. It was like Phoenix is in her teaching mode. I need to just step back and let her lead that, you know?
Yeah. I was just like, oh yeah, I'm wearing my two bracelets of the badass mares from the Epona Rise Herd, Indy and a pony. So that's so interesting too.
I love it.
I just something really struck me about her message of like, you don't take it. And I think like that's such an interesting an important aspect of the work when we bring clients out to work with the horses, right? Because it is a fine line of receiving and taking. And I think that's something that like we don't necessarily get to explore in a super nuanced way in our human relationships, because it is nuanced and it does require a really high level of consciousness to be able to know, like, am I taking energy from someone, or am I just enjoying being in the energy of someone, but we're both in our own energies. And so I think with the horses, especially depending on who the horse is, like some are more willing to give of themselves than others. And so I guess like I'd be curious to hear, well, I have a couple places I'd love to go. So like I'm notorious for asking two questions at once. I apologize, but like my brain's always like, I want to know everything. It's like, okay, so how do you just work with that in general, right? With like your herd, as far as creating, I guess, those boundaries, or do you feel like you need to create boundaries around bringing clients in and making sure that they do understand the difference between taking and receiving? Like, let's just start there. Is that something that you find that like, because I know you work with a variety of different people as well. Is that something that you find yourself having conversations around? Is that concept of like taking energy versus it being freely given to you?
Yeah, I love it. It's interesting because it's making me think of a coach and her framework of like, we're either in transactional relationships or relational relationships, right? Mm. Where there's like a flow of giving and receiving. And we're not measuring it, but we know the difference of when it's like, I'm seeking an outcome versus I'm seeking connection, right? And there's so that's the biggest thing the horses taught me was like, it's not about the task. It's not about getting it done. It's about enjoying the process. And it's about like the energy of relationship as you go about a task. That was my first horse, Felici, that really shook me to my core around that message. It wasn't about the outcome. It was about the relationship as we're going through anything in life, that's where the joy is. It also made me think of a story that I had with Phoenix once where, you know, for the first year I had with her, I wasn't doing any of her care. So it was just playtime, ride time, fun time. And I spent 8 months hanging out with her before I got on her back, really, because I needed to build trust with her. She's not a horse that offers trust right away. She had guarding. And I realized I did too. And so we both had to really work through some of that. But what happened is once I started to do her care, because the ranch owner left and I was in a self-care situation with the horses, I was doing all the care and that was my role with her. And so it was almost like, and I think a lot of us who have horses sometimes feel like we're their servants sometimes, like, okay, let me go fetch you your water and your food. And like, we're giving a lot, right? And then it's like, how much are we receiving from them? So one day I just said to her, I'm like, Phoenix, I'm not just your caretaker. And like, she turned around, she was leaving because I fed her, I did everything, and she went out to the field. And I said that to her, she stopped in her tracks like a human. This was wild. It was like a human. Turned around, walked back to me, and put her nose up to my nose. Like, I love you. We're in relationship. Thank you. And I was like, I was blown away because I was like, I needed it so bad, right? Like, I had been like overgiving almost to the point of like, where's the joy in being with horses? Because all I'm doing is care, you know? And then I said that to her and I had to claim it. And that's how she works. Like, you say something direct and claim. She's like, I'm right here. You're right. I love you. We're besties. Like, and thank you, you know? So sometimes it is just about saying it out loud. And I get lucky because my clients come and they ask permission to touch the horses most of the time. Is it okay to touch her? Is it okay to do that? And often we just start with watching and reflecting, and then we might move to mindful touch or grooming. Then that's like some form of reciprocity, you know, but they come with a natural, this is why I have hope for humanity. I find my clients come and ask permission. They ask, is it okay? And I'm like, thank you. So they already have a level of respect, which I find, but I call those kind of clients in too, right? Like,
I was going to say, I think that's a reflection of you.
I don't have the clients. Like, I remember when I first started this work, we were working with those who had addiction and rehab and recovery. And the first thing they would do would be to touch a face. the horse's face, and they wanted it so bad because they felt like they didn't have anything, and so they were trying to take that. And we brought attention to it, you know, like, can you wait for the respectful hello when you say hello to a horse? Do you need to take it? Do you need to create a story? Oh, that horse doesn't like me, or that horse is a jerk. If the horse doesn't say hello, like, the horse is eating, right? Can we get really clear about what's actually going on here? So I love this work because all our stories come up so quickly, you know, when we're around them. So
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, I'm just so obsessed with this mare. I'm like, let's talk about her
visit
before.
her. She would love to meet you.
I want to. I'm going to take you up on that. Okay, so the other question I had kind of in that space is like, because you don't just work with horses, you also work with donkeys and goats. And I'm so curious, do the donkeys and goats have that same kind of like, how do I even say it? Do they need that same type of approach? Or do you find that from species to species, they have kind of different boundaries around how they work with your clients?
Yeah, I mean, I really go back to it. Everything is such an individual, like us as humans, them as sentient beings, different animal species. I think there's themes for sure. Like, dogs are so loyal, right? Like, there's jokes and memes around the dog. Like, you go outside to take the trash out for 2 minutes, and the dog's like, "Where'd you go? I'm so happy. I'm so glad you're back." Like, I don't think horses are like that really ever. They're just like, you know, like, they're happy to see us sometimes, but they're also really happy with their food and their friends and all the other basics that they need. So, there is themes for species, but like with my four goats, all four of them are so different. One of them you can't approach unless you really ground your energy and you're really harmonious and you're really clear. If you're trying to take from her, she will not come anywhere near you. But if you're there to contribute to her, you're there in a neutral way where you don't need to give or receive, she's right there for you. But if you go to her with take, myself included, she's like, "I'm out of here," you know, and that's her boundary line. My other goat, like, she can come across as so needy, and she just wants to be up in your space all the time. And she just will follow you around, and she wants love and attention constantly. So, you know, they're all different. But goats in general, at least mine, you know, they love humans that want to get down and scratch them. And they love to be scratched. They love the physical touch. It's their love language. So they'll even leave food for physical touch. Whereas, you know, my Phoenix in particular, not huge on physical touch. Food is her love language. So, you know, it's different. And like with the goats, they're all about, like, you know, getting people down into that awe and wonder and down into that inner child space to scratch them and pet them and look into their eyes and be like, "Holy crow, I'm with a goat." Like, how often does
Wait,
that
when you
happen?
say like get down, do you mean like physically, like
Yeah.
on their level? Oh, that's
Yeah.
so interesting.
They crouch down so they're eye to eye, and they're really looking in those really unique eyes that goats have and connecting in from that level.
Wow.
So, yeah. And the thing I like to do now that I'd not kind of never used to do, but I've been doing the last few years, is just getting people in touch with, like, who is this being in front of you? How are they unique? What are you getting from them? What kind of goat personality or horse personality are you seeing? And like, we're so then people grow their intuition to know, like, oh yeah, this is like, I am reading this, you know, being correctly. And who are you most drawn to? Because usually that goat or that horse has something for you that you either need more of, or you need to grow it, or you have a lot of it, but you need to acknowledge it, right? You have an opportunity to acknowledge it, right? I have a lot of directness in me, but it was sort of bottled up. And Phoenix was like, you got to let this out. You got to be like more in that directness. So,
Wow. And how about the donkeys?
yeah. So my sense of the way donkeys are supporting humanity in general is like grief work. Like, I just think they are so powerful at grief work. Almost grief and fear, and like really letting go of control and being super present. I have had my most powerful healings from donkeys, mini donkeys. The most like kind of ecstatic moments I've ever had with donkeys, and they've all helped me through grief so much, and helped clients do that too. Ultimately, like, If you think about them historically, they carried our burdens, right? Or they were their pack animals. So if they carried our physical burdens, it would make sense to me as we evolve in consciousness, we don't need them to carry our physical items anymore. They're now carrying and helping us carry emotions, right? And relieving us of the burdens. Not that they take them on. I never want an animal to take on our stuff and hold it. They can take it on and transmute it. And we can talk about that in body work, how we help them. But like ultimately, they, I think, are really helping us with our biggest burdens. That's my sense.
Wow. I'm just so my friend Karen, who's been on the podcast. Hi, Karen. If you're listening, she had well she had two donkeys. One has since transitioned, but Fred is the one who I'm really thinking of, and he's just like, I guess he's a mini. I'm not like super familiar with the donkey sizes and when they're minis and when they're not, but he was like, he was a bit, I would feel on the smaller side, but he was just like you just look at him and you just felt he like climbed into your soul and like made a little place for himself there, and you just like couldn't help but, I don't know, melt. Like he just melted. He was just like, gosh, what he emanated was he was just the sweetest soul. I mean, is the sweetest soul. And I never really had much connection with donkey prior to that, other than maybe like a few, as I mentioned, they've kind of been up in the bodywork space. So sometimes, you know, you're at a farm and there's donkeys and you end up working on some, but like to actually have a connection, like a one-on-one connection, he was just I don't even know. He just was like pure love emanating in this donkey body. And wow. I mean, I could only imagine. Like to act for him to actually step into that work that he, yeah, I feel like he would be such that like nurturing presence for people to just let go. Yeah. Wow.
I let go so much so quickly with them, and they're the one that I loved, where I was at the ranch where my horses still are, and now is this donkey named Sweetness, and he's a mini donkey. He's my friend, and he is that sweet energy that he would literally also climb in your lap and like come up and always put his root chakra up to you, his butt, and ground.
Yeah, Fred would do that too.
It's amazing. And so I put them in the card deck on gentleness and grounding, and it's Sweetness. And there was something, I still call him, he's like my child. Like if I had human children, he would definitely be one of them. But he loved this work so much. He still loves it. I just think he would do it all the time if he could, like nonstop. And he was always working on me and his human, and was the first to meet and greet people and just get them to feel comfortable. And yeah, I mean, there's so much bad rep sometimes about animals, like, oh, donkeys can be stubborn and goats can be rebels or anarchists and all that. And that there's that collective out there. And at the same time, it's like, there's so many. I think some of the masters on the planet are donkeys. I do. I think that they've chosen that role for something really specific, and there's something about them that's really powerful. If we give ourselves a moment to actually see them for who they are, because I'm guilty. I did not like donkeys before I met them. I just thought, oh, they're not really that pretty, and horses are pretty. Yeah, I had my judgment of them until I really was blown away by how much they were healing.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because I was the same. And then I met Fred, and then I was just like, oh my God. Like I could not walk past him without just being like, Fred, I love you so much. So much.
Seriously. Seriously. I would post videos, and all of my friends and followers would be like, can I meet this donkey? Like, he was the magnet of the whole group, you
Yeah,
know?
totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the deck. You were mentioning that they're in the deck. Tell me where that came from.
Yeah, one day I was at my desk in Los Angeles, and the horses said, just write down what we teach. And I grabbed like this piece of like long lined paper, and I just wrote 40 qualities down really fast of what they taught and what I feel like they've, and they wanted them in a deck. And at first it was a different type of artist and drawing, and it fell through, and I was so upset. And then I heard the horses say, like, that's not powerful, that we don't want that art. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I really was like, you know what? This is your deck. This is not mine. And I fully let go, and I had to let go when it came out and how it came out and all the details. But it's a horse wisdom deck. There are others, but it really, you know, it's the awakening with equines. And what came in is that the tagline of horses hold the key to life, leadership, and love. You know, if we were to just listen and also embody what they already are role modeling to us, right? Like that's the sweetness, or you know, the unconditional love, and some of these different qualities. You know, Phoenix is leadership, beauty, and joy. Those are her three cards in the card deck. So
Wow.
yeah.
So wait, that you said that happened when you were in LA, so it was quite a long time ago.
Yeah, I had the idea probably either right before or after my mare Lindsay passed. And like, yeah, I think it was like probably 2016, so it was before she passed. And then it took a while for me to really step into it and do it. Seemed like I finished a book in 2014. It's not out yet. So I can take a while to like actually get something out, or it's a divine timing thing. But yeah, it launched in 2023, and so we sold our first round of them, like pre-order, and basically did a VIP edition. And now I just did a whole nother second order. And so Nika is the artist, who I know you've already interviewed on the podcast, which is great. So yeah.
Yes, shout out to Nika, the grand connector of Sovereign Horse Podcast.
Exactly. And like, it's so funny because at first I didn't think Mika really wanted to do podcasts, and now I think she loves them, and she's so good at them. She's so good at talking. And every time she says something, I'm always like listening really closely, because there's always some big wisdom. She gets the horses maybe more than anyone I know. And that's saying, like, I know a lot of people who get horses. So it's cool to always talk to her. So.
Nika is one of those people. Now we're just gonna have a moment for Nika because, of course, why not? Nika is one of those really rare humans who I think it's so fascinating to me that she has such a connection with the equine collective. And even if she's not with horses every day, you know, or like her horse lives in another country, for example, she's so tapped into the collective, and I think it just speaks volumes to her role in, you know, the paradigm shift and all that's going on. And I think it's so fascinating to me because a lot of people get really caught up in the like this idea of what it looks like to be an advocate or someone contributing to the paradigm shift or to this other way of being with horses. And I'm always trying to reflect back that like that role takes so many different shapes, and we need people filling all these roles, just like in the herd, how there are roles and the different horses fill them. Like, we need all these people filling these roles in their own unique way, so that as a collective, we it's almost like I always see it as this like disco ball, you know, because there's like all these facets to the mirrors, but then it's like prismatic too. So even if you and I, let's say, we're hanging out on the same like mirror side, but it's prismatic. So maybe you're shining this color and I'm shining that color, and then it changes as it moves and the sun comes through. And yeah, I just see it as this dynamic thing, like especially like in the herd, you know. Let's say my Indy horse, for example, is Sentinel, but like he gets to rest and others will step into that role. So even though that's primarily kind of the role he holds, there's still dynamics, like, right? There's still dynamism. And so I think it's important that we don't also like get caught up in pigeonholing ourselves in this idea of who we are. Like, even in your work, you know, when I asked how you wanted to be introduced, and obviously, you have a handful of things that you do. It's not just one thing. Like, actually, do you want to talk about kind of where the animal communication fits into your work?
Yeah, I'm happy to. And just to reflect on that, like I never thought about it as like Mika is the most tapped. She's so tapped into the collective, whereas I feel like I've always been so tapped into the mayor that I was working with and presenting her to the world as kind of like almost like queen mayor energy to really soak in and learn from, right? And then that evolved into I have female goats and whatnot. And I love that because that is actually, we all do have these different roles and we need each other to create a bigger movement and momentum for the horse world to pivot because the horses need us to do that. Like they can't do it on their own without us. We have, this is why I love doing podcasts. Like I want to give them a voice and be like, okay, consider this about animals, consider this about horses, consider this about mares. Like there's something really to that that's really powerful. It's only been a couple, no, it's been a few years now, I guess, where I'm more tapped into the horse ancestors. And that's probably because I, and the horse collective at large, but that's because I now have 17 horses on the other side that I've worked with. So I call them the heaven herd and I feel really close to them, two of which were my like kind of personal heart horses. And so yeah, it can evolve too, because sometimes people feel like, well, I only really know my one horse, right? I only really know this herd. And then we can continue to grow and learn and bridge and start to hold more space for different things, like more of the horse world comes to us, right? For instance, I start as a coach, I branch into being a healer and animal communicator. I round out, and that happened because I didn't want to just receive from the horses back to that give and receive thing. That's the theme today. Like, I wanted to give back to them. And so I realized the best way to do that would be to do healing work for them, energy work for them, and animal communication, right? So that was to really balance out the like, okay, if this equine coaching work has any detriment effect, and it might, I'm going to flat out say that. And in some places, it might have more than other places because of either how much they're worked or what's expected of them or the type of work, on and on. But if there is any negative detriment, what can I do to like teach and heal and help on the balancing it out, restoring their energy, clearing their energy, giving them a voice, right? So that's where I went and was like, okay, I need to do this not only just for my work to understand animal communications for clients, but really to give back to them, you know, in some capacity. And I love it. And like, I feel like I also got to a point where like working with humans all the time was not really the life path I thought I had set out for. Like, I wanted to be a vet or a horse trainer when I was a kid. Yeah. So, and I always said, I'll never do therapy in college. I'll never do therapy. And then there are days when I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm a therapist, even though I'm not, I'm a coach, but I'm in space with people who are processing emotion. And that can feel at times just like therapy. And luckily, my master's degree really helps us understand the bridging between therapy and coaching and how to handle those spaces and like when to refer to a therapist and all that. But yeah, it's been a journey of like knowing I need both. I need to serve humans and horses, and that's the best use of like who I am as a human being, you know.
So is the animal communication more something that you do just with your horses, or do you do that with clients as well?
Clients, yeah. So right now it became, at first I was just like doing it for friends and their horses, and then I would know what's going on with the horse, and then the vet would get there and say the same thing, and my friends would look at me, or I'd like fix what was going on before the vet got there, and then they're like, I didn't need to call the vet. And I'm like, yeah. So in the beginning, I was playing with it and I was just experimenting with it, and then it became, I really want to offer this. And so I started, yeah, to work with clients remotely and do sessions. So, and I had a really strong intention to be sort of like a medical intuitive. So I started to feel a lot. And my second mentor trained me how to do body scans and how to feel in my body what is going on in a horse's body. So I just started to develop the intuition, and I've always been clairaudient. Like I could always hear my intuition. So it became easier to hear the horses, but it opened up one day on Earth Day when I just poured my love out to the horses, and I walked back into the barn after an event and I heard them talking to me, and I was like, what is going on right now? So I went and got trained, and I was like, I need to know what's happening and how I can do this. So I love it, and I love teaching it too. It's fun to teach it to others because I think it's a skill that we can all learn and practice and grow, you know?
Can we talk about the, did you call them the Heavenly Herd?
Yeah, the Heaven Herd.
The
Yeah.
Heaven Herd. Can we talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I'm so curious, like, if there's, well, just anything that you feel called to share from them, but like specifically if they have any messages they'd like to share, having transitioned, right? And like it, or if there's threads of wisdom that, oh, I've got goosebumps, that, they might like for people to know who are in partnership with horses.
I love that. Yeah, let me see if I can bring them in. I know that this is audio, but that I had just found this representation of Felici, this gray Arabian bear, who was really my first teacher in the space. She was my riding horse. I leased her, but she's been really active this week, and she's on the other side. Her name is more Dream than Felici, but let me see if I can see what they're wanting to bring through. I'd be so curious to see what you get too, because I feel like you're getting a message also. So what is coming in is like, and this feels like they're also saying this to me because it's something I have going on right now too, but they're saying don't delay on things that you most want. Like, because it's not about the someday. So I think she's talking about her book that I wrote, the car deck, how long it took, right? Travel trips we want to take, things we want to do, because there is that whole live for the moment right now message that's kind of coming in. And I think that's a piece of this the sovereign energy too. It's like, who are you? What do you want? Know you can have it and work towards it, right? Allow it to be, allow it to come into form. Like if you want it, it's not, we don't need to question it or delay it. We can just step into it.
I think like something that's so beautiful about just observing horses is how clear and in the moment they are with their wants.
Yes.
Like humans can get so caught up when we know we want something and we question it and we overthink it and we go to all these things and that embrace the moment. That's such like, I mean, Kisses has given me that message so many times, and as I say, she's transitioned as well. But it's like be here now, be here now, claim it now. Don't wait. And it's so interesting because like they we're actually doing this class on the 25th called Embrace Your Mistakes, and it really came from these teachings that I was initiated into with Kisses, who was just like, you are halting all of our evolution because you're terrified to do anything wrong, especially because I had done so much harm in our past. And she was like, but the thing is that now your fear of doing it again is preventing us from moving forward at all. So she's like, you're just like debilitated, and you're holding all of us back because we need you. Like you're at the front, right? You're the gatekeeper, so to speak. So like it's interesting that that's coming through is just like, go for what you want. And if what you want is to, even if it's that, to like not cause more harm to your horses because you've done that in the past, then just take a step toward whatever you feel like could bring you there. So maybe that's take a course, work with a mentor, buy a book about something that you don't know a lot about. Like let it be simple, but just let it happen, and actually do it.
It's like just do it is a big message from them, and they live in the now, so they don't plan for like, yeah, someday we'll get to do that. They're like, no, we would like this now. Phoenix and I work on patience though. She's not the most patient of horses, and so what we've cut, like, she'll try eating off of a hay net before I've set it up, and so now I'm like, I don't want you eating off my body. I don't want, and she doesn't have to stand 20 feet away from me. I don't need that, but she has to give me space. So we work through like positive reinforcement, which is actually like her favorite thing, which I'm kind of like, okay, Like, I need to set this up. You can wait. So she will. She's gotten so good. She's so proud of herself. She'll be like, okay, I'm waiting and I'm going to stand here. And then occasionally she won't go to eat it, but she'll put her head up next to my head and she'll like almost like blow kisses or touch my cheek. Like, is it ready yet? Is it like, a little kid waiting for brownies or something? And I'm like, hold on. And then I put it on there. She's like, okay, thank you. And like, it's fun. Like, I've created her learning patience is fun rather than being something that, she's reprimanded for because she went. I mean, there's a lot of interesting pieces in the horse trading world, right? Where it's like we're shutting down so many of their expressions without realizing it. And they only know the now. They know, well, I want the food. Like, why can't I have the food right this minute? Like, why do I have to wait for you to hang it on the fence, And so it's an interesting thing. I love their clarity and they don't question stuff. And the goats are such great teachers of pleasure too, because they just receive. And like when you're petting them and you're giving to them, you receive back. Like there's all that research on like when you're petting or touching an animal, like what happens to your serotonin, your cortisol, all that, your heart rate. It's really cool stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing to like interject into horse world, this idea of like waiting, you know? 'Cause even I was thinking like how humans like I don't know. Like, is this too much information? But let's just say, for example, you know, you're out somewhere and you've got to go pee, but like there's nowhere to go. So you have to wait. I'm like, I think about this sometimes. I'm like, animals don't do that. Like, no, dogs will, right? The animals are inside. And I was thinking about this the other day. Like, my Silas dog was crying because he needed to go outside. And I was in the middle of something work related. And I asked him to wait. And then I had this moment of like, the tables got turned. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, no, of course I'll take you right now. Like, oh my gosh, can you imagine if the tables turned, I was like, hey, Silas, can you let me out? And he was like, no, I gotta do this work thing. And I'm like, but I need you to open the door. Otherwise, like, what? Right. And so I think about that with horses. Like, the only time they really do that is if it's a hierarchy thing. So, like, I wanted water, but you know, the lead mare is coming in, so I need to step aside and then I'll go back to the water. But other than that, you know, and talking about the timing, it's like so often we miss things. And I should say I miss things because the timing is off. Like, they'll ask for body work. And I'm like, oh, I don't have time. I'm sorry. And they're like, but I need it right now. And I'm like, okay, I'll circle back to you, but I'll circle back 3 hours later. And they're like, the time, like you missed the moment.
And I'm curious, like this is, I struggle with this sometimes too, where it's like, how do we serve their in the need moments and desires when we are in this like human construct of time? Like, I know that I could just spend all day every day with my horses and never do anything ever again. I'd be fine. Like, it's just, I just don't, I can't always, So, like, I'll say to them sometimes, like, girls, I'm sorry I wasn't here that much today because working for your hay bill. And like, I joke with them, but like, yeah, it is, it's like, I think it's a balance. One day I was feeling really bad about stuff and I was driving somewhere and all of a sudden I felt like that collective of horses come in and they're like, hit the record. And I'm like, I don't even know where I saved this, but I hit the record button on my audio and I just started to like talk as them. And it was, give yourself some credit, forgive yourself. Like, you're not perfect. We're not perfect. We don't need you to always be, on it 24/7. Like, don't put so much pressure on yourself to have to be everything and everything to us. Like, they have learned so much patience from us. If you think about it, like, they might have even chosen to come in a horse body to learn about, what it's like to have to receive from entirely from humans, and like that's to keep them alive and safe and all of that. So it is interesting. They came in one day and kind of helped me feel less guilty. And I don't even like the word guilt and subscribe to the energy of guilt because it's pretty low vibration. It's just they were like, it's okay, like, so I try to remind myself of that too. If I feel like I'm getting, if I beat myself up for not giving them everything. Like, I would love to get them body work every single week, but I also would love body work every single week, but with, different resources, you know, that may or may not be realistic, you know, but it doesn't mean that I'm not a good horse mom or, you know, good at self-care. But it's, there's this whole desire of like, can we listen more? And then if we can't deliver, can we acknowledge it at least in the moment and then do our best to come back to it. I find that too with inner child work. If my inner child's upset and I'm like, when I used to work in corporate America and I just wanted to cry about something, I'd go into the bathroom and I'd be like, I hear you. I understand you're upset. At 8 o'clock tonight when we get home, we can talk about this. You can have a cry. So even that, it's like, yeah, allowing ourselves to even acknowledge it, but create space for it at some point, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I think that's such an important thing. Like, the acknowledgement is so key as like a first step. And then, yeah, like you said, it's creating space. So there are times when I'm asked for something from a horse and I have to say I can't, and then I'll create space later and maybe what we end up doing looks totally different than the original thing, and I have to be okay with that. It's like, but at least I showed up, right, and kind of kept my end of the bargain, so to speak, right? Like, and they do have a lot of patience for us, I find, most of the time. And then sometimes, like, not so much, because maybe sometimes, like, I've asked a few times and now I'm not so patient. Like,
Totally,
now it's a
totally.
requirement. It's no longer an ask, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, thank you for sharing that message, because it's something that I say a lot. And I love when other people say it from their experience too, because it's like, it's not just me trying to tell you this, but like, the horses really don't expect us to be perfect. That's a human thing. We expect ourselves to be perfect. And they are so like, and you said this as well, which I'm so appreciative that you spoke to, was like that. Just like being in the relationship. And what was it you said? Like, outcome versus connection is how horses are like, we're not, it's not about the outcome, it's about the connection. And whatever happens in that being relational is, that's the thing. Like, that's the juice, not wherever it ends. Although sometimes that does have a clear like outcome that can be really like, wow, like the work that you were talking about with Phoenix and the patients. It's like, you guys have been doing that, and you've been doing that. And then one day you'll kind of arrive at a moment where you're like, whoa, hey, here's that outcome. Like, oh wow, what a beautiful byproduct of all this connecting that we were doing.
Yeah, and I think there's just the word like forgiveness is coming in, right? Or that compassion of ourselves. And for them, knowing, you know, they are dependent on us, that is probably what their souls, one of the reasons animals are here is to learn dependence, interdependence, and all of that. And then there's that forgiveness piece where, because I find sometimes like when I talk to people, like, in the animal communication sessions, you know, horse or dog moms or cat moms are always like, did I do it wrong? Is it okay? Are they upset with me? Like, could I, you know, and there's this level of feeling bad. And often, you know, the animals are like, it's okay. It's all fine. Like, it's, you know, we're doing the best we can. And to have that forgiveness of ourselves, because they're so forgiving of us, you know, and then we have to be forgiving of ourselves too. It's not an excuse to not show up for them, but it's an element of like, we don't have to beat ourselves up for it, you know? Because I find a lot of times I talk more to the horse parents that, you know, feel like they're never going to do enough for their horses, or even the human parents that are like, I don't feel like I even have enough for my kiddos after I work all day, you know? So it's like, how do we stay present? So, like, when I'm with my horses, I don't bring my phone out of the car, you know? I'm like, I just try to just really be present because that's when I can give them the most of me, you know, and
Yeah.
that's what we have to do when we have limited time, so to speak, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, you spoke to this before, like the individuality of each being. And I remember the first time, like, my Dido and my Rio Mare, who's also transitioned, but the two of them were just like, if you came out and looked at us once a week, that would be more than sufficient. And I was like, once a week? You, like, we lived on the same property. I'm like, once a week? And I was like, crushed. And they were like, no, that we didn't mean it like that. It's just like, we don't require the high touch, you know, care style that you give us. And it's like, we're not upset about it, but we also don't need it. So if you need to, like, put more attention into the other horses or the dogs or yourself or whatever, like, we're both cool. Whereas, like, Kisses, for example, was not cool with that. Like, my high touch care style was born from her.
I get that.
You know?
Totally.
And then like Phantom, as far as care goes, he doesn't really need like so much on the care side, but he loves to just spend time together. So he's always just like, well, can we just hang out? Can we just play? Can we just like scratch each other or like do whatever and get silly? And, you know, Indy's more like, physical time is cool, but carve out time to spend with me, like in meditation or, you know, connecting energetically. And that's really more like what his priorities are. So like, even as individuals, you know, it's like, I've got my preferences of what level of care I want to give. And then it's like, okay, and then what does each horse actually want and need? And then like adjusting from there, where like, I think some people would also be like, well, if I don't give equal time to all of them, then like I have favorites or I'm a bad horse mom or whatever the thing is. And it's like, no, because if your horse is like a really low key horse, then they might feel smothered actually by the amount of time and care you're trying to give them.
That's so well said and like true, because I often think of it as the five love languages. I love that book. And we understand the five love languages with humans, but it can be very similar with horses. You know, like Phoenix is a queen. She needs acts of services. That's her thing. Sounds like Kisses was too. And then, you know, my other horse, Salida, it's quality time. She just wants to stand and meditate with you. And, you know, she loves to be groomed too, but it's like, yeah, they're really different. I noticed though, like when Phoenix started resource guarding me, and like if I'm with her and Salida comes in for some time, Phoenix pins her ears and like, out of here, I'm with mom. And like, I don't want that behavior, so I do a lot to reinforce them when they're both with me together so that we can share in it. But it's so interesting to watch horses and their relationships, because these two are sisters, and I've been thinking a lot about it lately, how they're sisters that are very different in age, and they don't really get along all the time. And they have their own jealousy things that they're working out in this lifetime. And people might think like, oh, you're I can never say the word, anthropomorphizing. But I'm like, without a doubt, sentient beings have their own lessons to learn here. And my mares are processing some of their stuff around scarcity and connection and jealousy and all of that. And so it's very interesting. And I do the emotion code clearings with them too, but, and I can tell if they're ever being grumpy with each other, I have to do a clearing, you know, for them. But I also realize like, they're also going through their own life lessons, whether I'm there or not, you know, they're going through their own soul's growth, you know?
So interesting you're talking about that, because, well, here's another similarity. Kisses was big on guarding me, and it's so interesting because now that she's not here, I still have it in my head. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go out to groom the horses, so like I just kind of have my brushes with me, but I won't let people out to groom because I will say like it can get chaotic, you know, and sometimes it's not safe if you don't know the dynamics of them because of the way they push each other around when I bring the brushes out. And it was just the other day I was grooming, and I'd groomed like a few times in like a week. And so it was kind of just like in my head, cause they're shedding, and I'm like, wait a second, grooming's really peaceful all of a sudden. And then I'm like, oh, that was kissing. Like, I didn't realize how much she was really like the issue and the chaos causer all of that. Because to the point that like even Indy and Phantom, who are actually half brothers, they would fight sometimes in a different way, like in a brother way. But even that, like I was brushing Phantom, and Indy's more dominant, so normally that's not allowed. It would be Indy and then Phantom. But Indy just slept like right beside us while I groomed Phantom. And I just kind of kept looking like waiting and being on guard for like the moment he was getting it pushed, and he didn't. And then when I finished grooming Phantom, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Indy now. Phantom came over, and he was like, excuse me, I want more. I'm like, well, no, because actually it's Indy's time now. And he was super chill. And then Dido just quietly came down and got groomed after that. And it was so, I'm like, oh, this is really peaceful. And I was just chuckling at it, like realizing that moment, like, oh, Kisses, you were really causing a lot of chaos.
It's so fascinating. It makes us think about that herd dynamic, right? When there is a horse that is maybe has a scarcity piece, right? Or like a protective or a jealousy piece, how it affects the whole herd. And it's the same, like when I work with corporate groups or a family, or like it's like you can see it right away that like that's going on. There's one person causing more of the chaos, right? Or there's one that's pushing the others around. And like to rebalance it, sometimes the solution is, okay, that leader needs to go to another company or needs to retire. Right. Or and so there's a more peaceful cohesiveness, but it was really interesting because Phoenix integrated really well into this other herd when I brought her in. And it was because that herd had beautifully organized to what looked like almost equal, very little, signs of moving stuff around. And she had to learn to like be respectful first. Now it's just her and, another mare. So it's different, or it's like sisterhood energy. But yeah, it is interesting what it can reflect to us too, and how one big personality in a herd can definitely, or in a workplace, can definitely shift the dynamics quite a bit. And sometimes it's fun and it's okay and it's not a big deal and we can just adjust to it. And other times, like, it can be tiring, it can be a lot to navigate. I always say that to her. I'm like, you are making me constantly be focused on, managing space, because that's who she is. Whereas before, I didn't feel like I had to do it as much, So, and there's a big difference when there's a smaller herd versus a bigger herd too. Like there's a lot of things I'm seeing parallels to even in humanity, and like when we feel safe and whether it's healthy leadership or not, and all these pieces, it's interesting.
Do you want to speak a little bit about the corporate work? Because I'm just personally really curious, like what does that look like, and what do they kind of take from those experiences with the horses?
Yeah, I think that it's usually one trailblazer person inside of a group that understands the group needs it, and that they're ready for it, because it is an advanced offering and opportunity. A lot of corporate groups still want to go bowling or drink together and, play mini golf, and like that's all fun. And there's a level of the horses can be really fun and joyful, and they're gonna potentially expose things or illuminate things, and they're teaching. And so you have to kind of come and be ready to be coached. So I always tell whoever books the team building, like, you're a trailblazer and you are getting it and you are doing out of the box things outside at your company. So acknowledge yourself for that. And then, I usually say there's either a team building that is very much about celebration, and it's about joy and connectivity, and it's a time to really reboot and enjoy, and we do solution-based activities. Or there's a lot in the traditional equine coaching space where there's problem-solving team buildings or leadership trainings where people are, there is some challenges. There are things not necessarily going well. And so then we are more in a place of problem solving. I still take the solution-driven approach, but what they get from the horses is that sometimes they have to really slow down and become present to understand what the solution is, to see how they do one thing is how they might do anything. That if they're rushing, they're creating chaos and not necessarily getting the results that they want. If they are only focused on themselves, that it can be challenging or lonely or difficult when there isn't cohesiveness in a group, and an interdependence and synergy, to use the words we both love. So yeah, I just feel like it goes back to the card deck, and it's really like what the horses are teaching us by their way of being and what they value and who they are as 1,200-pound prey animals that have co-evolved alongside of us for so long. That is what I think corporate America needs. Those emotional intelligence qualities and the leadership qualities that generate better relational results, better outcomes, because we are prioritizing our way of being and who we are and how we're showing up. And it's not just, let's make money today, like it's a whole nother level of triple bottom line. So.
Wow, that's really interesting. I think that's so cool. Like I had said to you, no one's really spoken to that on the podcast before. So, because I actually don't really know too many people who have taken the work into that space, but whenever I speak to someone who works in like a corporate setting and they're having like a, you know, work vent out moment, I'm always like, oh, y'all should go hang out with some horses and just observe a herd for a little while. I think that that could really help you. But, you know, I think bridging into that world is not necessarily easy. So the fact that you are working with people who are in those corporate settings, I think is really fascinating and wonderful, because it means it's actually also just starting to share out that wisdom and the medicine of horses to people who aren't maybe necessarily horse people, who aren't immediately already just like, ooh, horses, bring me to them, you know, teach me all the things. And I think that that will go a long way as well in the paradigm shift of helping people. Like, you know, I've been kind of seeing a lot of trainers recently, especially in the States, speaking about how like people are coming for their sport, you know, non-horse people are coming for their sport. And I'm like, well, what I find really fascinating is that the people that don't know about horses, like in my life personally, many of my friends who aren't horse people, and I don't have too many of them anymore, but like if I show them a picture of a horse, they immediately will point out the thing like, oh, what's going on with that horse's foot?
Wow. Or
like, oh, how come they've got that like big line? Like, is that supposed to be there? And I'm like, oh, no, that's called fascial banding. And they see it immediately.
Wow.
And it blows my mind, because I'm like, how come you can see it and you don't know what you're looking at or anything about horses? And like, I used to stand 5 inches from a horse and not be able to see that thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's brilliant that, yeah, you know, people who aren't in the horse world are working with horses in that way, because there's a purity to the way they see them.
Yes.
Not always, but there can be.
Yes, agreed. I love that. That's really cool and fascinating that you have that like experience. I see it too. Like sometimes the corporate group comes and sometimes there's some people there who they're a little scared of horses. So we work with like, can you be okay with your own power? Can you be okay taking up space? Like, or what fearful experience did you have in the past that you can let go of? And how do you face that fear here so you can face it elsewhere in life? And then there's people who love horses, and then there's people who are not sure, and then they love horses and they love the goats, and that's what they have this like really salient memory of, like, oh, this horse. And like, what's so neat is like people say to me all the time, well, I don't know if I can learn animal communication, or I don't know if I, and I'm like, I have strangers to horses walking in, and I'm like, what do you think Phoenix is saying to you right now? And they'll nail it every time. They get exactly what she's communicating. And sometimes it's through body language that they're reading, and a lot of other times it's just their intuitive knowing or their accessing their own intuition. Seem like looking at a photo, it's accessing this body awareness, right? Or this intuitional piece that horses, I think, are naturally helping us with our intuition. It's when I put one of the cards in there, because I find like it grows sometimes just being with them or being around them because of how intuitive they are. And I find that it's really neat to work with people who don't know horses. And sometimes with the equine coaching work, people are maybe in the therapy or coaching space, but they want to start working with horses. And I train equine coaches. I have a certification program for that. And they don't necessarily know horses. And they're like, is it a problem? I'm like, it can actually be an asset, like a really good thing, because you don't have to unlearn. I had to unlearn so much growing up riding on the East Coast. Like,
preach.
Yeah. I had to unlearn a lot about horses and how to handle them. Like the whole, like, you don't have to use pressure thing, like, really hurt my head for a long time. Until I was like, I get it. I understand, you know?
Yeah, totally. Wow. Kate, it's been so wonderful chatting with you. I just want to offer you the opportunity, like, if there's anything else you want to share before we close or anything that's coming up for you.
I just have to ask you a question, if that's okay. I'm just so curious about the bodywork piece. So, like, do you find when you're working on horses that they're sharing with you where to go, like your own, like, do you feel how is working on a horse's body really changed your relationship with them in general, with horses in general, and also like your own body working, like how has it grown your own? Because it's something I want to do more of, and I know I have like friends in the Masterson method and clients in that space, and like I love the whole Tucker biokinetics, and I think massage and all of these different pieces are so valuable, and I feel like it'd be great if more of us were doing it for our horses or hiring people like yourself to teach us or to do it. But it's like, what have you found to be the most exciting piece of like learning about horses and learning about yourself from body work, would you say?
Ooh.
I know that's a big question too.
That's a huge question.
Yeah.
Well, body work was the portal for me that changed everything, reconnected me to my intuition. So yes, now when I'm in session, I let the horse guide me for the most part. There are times when a horse is, let's say they've never experienced body work before, especially equibo. It is different. Or a horse who's really shut down, that I might just say, okay, I'm gonna run you through like a basic protocol that'll just help you reconnect in general. And like, we'll go slow and just let me know if this is okay. But then
Beautiful.
I might actually like run through a protocol versus horses who are like, even sometimes a horse who's never had a session before, I'll be driving there and they're dropping stuff in. Just like, cool, thanks for coming. These are the things I would like. I'm like, oh, okay, then cool. That makes it easy. And so some of them really are like calling it in and they're guiding it. But I couldn't do that at the beginning of my journey. I had to go to like the very science side of it. I had to understand the anatomy. I had to understand the biomechanics. I had to really get what I was doing. How was the nervous system responding? Like, why was this working? And then through this, and again, because it was Kisses, she's really a catalyst for me. It was with her that I had this moment of like something different that happened that opened up this really, really reopened me up to my intuition. But I didn't know at that time that's what was happening. But reconnection to intuition is the biggest thing that body work has gifted me, and a new way of looking at horses and being with horses, because consent based was not my way of being at that time. I was very much in the conventional world. My whole reason for getting into body work was better performance. You know, I wanted my horses to go better. I wanted them to jump higher. I wanted, like, it was very performance based. And through the process, I started to realize, like, oh, there's, like, maybe there's other ways to use this, or, you know, avenues. And then I started thinking, like, well, you know, what would be really amazing would be to like go to the auction and bring horses home and rehabilitate them and like support them on their journey and like those types of things. So that kind of started to happen. But it wasn't too long within that journey that I actually arrived at a place of not riding anymore. So it kind of quickly went from performance based to like, oh, this opened up a whole other way of being in relationship with horses. And it was really my journey from that conventional way to this co-creative, consent-based way that my horses initiated me into through that path. So, but when I teach now, what we find, at least for Equibo specifically, is like the caliber of people who are drawn into the program now are generally very intuitive. And so we can bypass the like more mechanical protocol based way. We still teach the protocols, of course, but we can teach it in a more intuitive way, which is really cool. So I think, like, if I was gonna pull a thread through, it's that reconnection to intuition. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, completely. I love it. Another similarity too, because I was so performance focused also, so I get it. That was my relationship with horses and life. I was in corporate America myself, like ego driven, wanting to be head of this movie studio. And I have two ex performance horses, one race horse and one barrel racer. So I get it, and it's so beautiful. I love that. Yeah, no, that was said so well. When you work on them, do you feel emotions, their emotions or yours? And do you see or feel memories or pictures of stuff that's happened to them? Has that happened in your intuition?
Yeah, more emotions for sure, and feelings. I have definitely been shown pictures, but that's not as much. I think more so what I get are, how can I say this? Things that support their human to getting more onto the path that the horse is initiating them into. So it's like I'm wouldn't on my own be as skillful to like know where a person needed to go next if the horse wasn't sharing with me, share this story, tell them that thing. You've both walked this path, share that story. And so a lot of it is like the horse supports me to guide the human to where it is that they are wanting to go together on this journey. Does that
Nice.
make sense?
Completely. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And that's funny. I think that's also why Phoenix popped in right away too, because she's probably like, you gotta help Kate with something and like get her, and the biggest message I got was like, she so wants to transmit her energy through video and photo, and you picked it up right away. You got it. And it's not for everyone, but it is for certain people. And like, she's ready for that work. Like, she wants to be doing more of that. And it will help me too. It's like being allowing myself to be seen more, which is something that in the past I was like I put a YouTube video out the other day and there's a comment and I'm like, I immediately want to like defend myself. And then I'm like, nope, I don't have to do that, right? I can relax and like people's stuff is their stuff. It has nothing to do with me, And so it, yeah, but I love that you're able to do that and arrive not just the horse to a new possibility, but to the human to that too. So you keep almost like unlocking potential. Is now it's not performance, it's potential that you're
I
unlocking.
love that. Thank you. That's a brilliant tagline.
Yeah. I was gonna say, you can use that
I'm like, I feel like I do say that a lot,
You
unlocking
probably
potential.
do.
But like, so here's another similarity. Kisses was the one who was like, we need an Instagram. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not putting my face on anything. Like, I'm not doing it. And she was like, yes, you are. And you can just put my face and that'll be the thing. And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, sure, you can be the face of equine elevation. That's fine. I thought that what we were doing together was like through performance, because she actually did like going off property to shows and stuff, because she's beautiful Palomino thoroughbred. She was quite rare and had this Barbie dream horse, vibe to her. So whenever we'd go anywhere, people would follow us around and comment on how beautiful she was. And I feel that she enjoyed that piece of being in the world, right? Which, like, of course, of course, of course. And so I thought what we were going to be doing was like through the performance and through her story of her injuries and the rehab, we were going to show this other way of being in the ridden world. And what ended up happening was something totally different, where we stopped riding altogether. And like, I didn't see that coming, but she was the one who was like, you've got to get over this whole thing where you don't want your face to be shown. Like, you've got to show yourself, step into the light. That's where we want to be. And like, because she's a Palomino, she was this beautiful golden colored horse. And like, I was looking for a black horse. And yes. And so, people kept asking me, why don't you buy Kisses? And I'm like, she's literally the opposite of what I'm looking for. Why would I buy this horse? And so when I finally did, like she had said to me, she's like, part of the reason that I came into your life was to bring you into the light and out of that darkness. Like, you
Nice.
wouldn't have been able to grow. And then it was so interesting because I've had only two horses since her, and both are primarily white. So she really initiated me into this whole other way of being, but she was the one that was so like, you've got to start sharing who we are and like to the world, not just to our clients face to face. Like, you're hiding in these barns. It's time to get out there. I would have never thought that, like, I mean, I've like cried on Instagram in a video, and that, it took me years to get there. So like, I hear you and I feel you, and it's just there's another connection between Kisses and Phoenix.
Oh my God, I love it. Well, that's hilarious. The two of them are like sisters from another dimension. But like, I just love it because I was looking for Goofy Gelding, and I got a young, not fully trained green, somewhat green bear that's a paint. And I I never had this connection with paint. I don't fall into the whole like, oh, I feel like, a lot of people love the Native American space and I think it's amazing, but it wasn't like something I needed or felt into. I would have rather the Palomino there, but yeah, so she, but it was funny because like keep focusing also on Midnight, this black horse that's on the other side, Black Arabian. And like the black horse in the equine coaching space, they think of it often as the shadow. Right. So being more in the shadow and being more in that space of like processing those parts of us rather than coming into like, I almost feel like she brought in like a lot of the feminine energy too. Right. Like that, or like really being seen and having to, you had to talk to people, you had to be more in the extroverted space. And so, yeah, it's really cool when they activate certain things. As soon as I got Phoenix, I introduced her to everyone and she stood still on video. I don't know if I recorded it, but I did it to like my, and she stood still for like 30 minutes and just stared at the camera like this. And I was like, I had never seen a horse do anything like that. Not once. Like she just was right there and wanted to be on camera. And I was like,
Wow.
okay, this is part of your path. And it is helping me too. It does. It makes us step out. And to end with Phoenix's message of beauty, like I feel like Kiss has wanted you to also have that. Yeah, like her name, the sweetness, and like how it's like so, it feels so girly and feminine, but also in that space of like, owning beauty, inner beauty and outer beauty. And as women, something like the stat is something like 90% of women don't like their body. Like that's way too
Oh
high.
my God.
Right. And like,
Yeah.
so, and like something like 70% of women don't feel like they're worthy of like what they want. And like that. So it's really fascinating. So yeah, I love that. Like Phoenix has helped me step into it more too, especially as I feel like I'm getting older and I don't feel like I don't look like I did when I was 28, anymore. And so there is a level of like they really come in and they help us work through certain pieces. So yeah, I love that.
Well,
That's
like everything you were just speaking to around kisses was so spot on. Like her name is Sun-Kissed. And as you were speaking, like I don't know if you could see, but there was this like sunbeam like radiating across your screen that
I
whole
know.
time. I was just like,
Crazy.
okay, this is very cool and
Oh,
interesting.
she totally wanted to say hi to you today. Where, when did she pass?
Yeah, she's been very present as of late. She
Oh.
actually was in a conversation with someone about her this morning too. She transitioned in July. I can't remember the date. I want to say it was the 25th, but I don't know why I want to say that. The date changed so many times that I'm not sure that I actually know. But yeah, in July. So
Wow.
yeah, I guess 8 months ago,
Yeah,
which
that's
is
still really
crazy.
recent. Yeah.
Yeah, and to spend that much time together, and she was really my like go-to girl, like we did everything together, and like if there was a thing of like, yep, I'm gonna get kisses, I'm going to kisses, like so to not have her, it's a it she left a she left quite a void that I think I'm still understanding,
Yeah.
but she's still very present, as you can
Yeah.
see.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, she shows up a lot, and I still feel her here. And I think she's one of those horses who will continue to share her wisdom like throughout my life, and she really wanted her lessons shared as well, which was kind of part of why she was like, you've got to get out into like the big world, the internet world, right? Share it out further.
Yeah.
So every time I feel like maybe I'm doing enough, I feel like I hear her going like, you could be reaching more. You like keep going, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that don't delay message from the Heaven Herd was for both of us for sure. It felt like, yeah, there's projects and for everyone listening, if there's something you're sitting on that you know you want to do, or you know is for the horses, or you know is like in your heart to just get going, like, and it's not this hustle bustle energy with it. It still can be done in baby steps, and but I mean, like my card deck was baby steps. And, and Nico was so patient with me and whatnot. And there's this level of like knowing now how many lives it's touched, or like the book that you're in, Unlocking the Wisdom. of Horses Within You. Like, that's a beautiful book as well that I know Nika illustrated. And like, it's like those books help people, the stories help people, the transmissions of these mares when people see them, right, in person, on video, on it, there's a transmission that people are getting too, right? And so yeah, I think it's important that we keep sharing them. So thanks for having your podcast and doing that too, and having me on also. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being patient because it took a while for us to finally get this episode recorded. But as you say, like all in timing. So yeah, thank you so much for being here, Kate. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, my website is katenelligan.com. It's one L, and I have the Facebook group Awakening with Equines, and then there's also Instagram and Facebook, Kate Nelligan Equine Coach. So,
Awesome. I'll make sure I add all of that into the show notes for people so they are just one click away.
great.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here and for sharing so much. It's been great connecting with you.
Thanks, you too. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining me here. I sincerely hope you found resonance within this episode. If you did, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on Instagram at Equine Elevation, or you can find me online at equineelevation.com. Until next time.